in your life.
Good attitude. All right, Boker Tov here in California because it's still morning. Welcome to Rishon Messianic Bible Club. We are about to start this class today, and I want to kind of talk about the title before we get started. And what's the title of today's, Pastor Ben?
It is The Great Hope 2020, Rapture of the Righteous.
The Great Hope of 2020, Rapture of the Righteous. I think that is what the Lord is gave me this morning, because dates may come and dates may go, but the year, God says, is non-negotiable.
Amen.
So I don't really, well, we all want to know what time of the year is going to be or what day of the year is going to be. So we're going to kind of today go over dates that were very important dates that came and went, that if you were a quitter, you would have been left by now. And or if I was a quitter, I would have been left by now. And dates that are just ahead of us. But the truth of the matter is, the flood happened in the 120th year. And since God is sovereign, and we don't really know the calendars, because that's what God wanted me to see, was that it was that Hanukkah was off 6 days in 2019, in 2017. Really bothered me in 2017, but I told you about, hey, it happened in the proper year, mm-hmm. in the Jubilee year. But, you know, Haggai says, look for the 24th day of the ninth month, which is Kislev, and it happened on the 18th. He announced it on the 18th of Kislev. And I thought to myself, well, God, you could have waited 6 days and it would have been perfect prophecy. And I think the Lord is kind of saying, you know, who's to say that my calendar isn't right and their calendar is wrong?
Right.
So you think about that, Mr. Smarty Pants. And so so I am open to the fact that days and calendars can be altered, or because of disobedience. And the disobedience is not a new moon, but I'm going to start the new year anyway.
Right.
And that will throw your calendar off, whatever amount of days that you did not, that you were not obedient, because you know, if it was 6 days, you could have waited to the new moon for 6 days. You should have just waited, and then the proper month would have started the new year and everything would have been perfect. Mm-hmm. And I hope I'm not talking in circles to some of you if you don't understand that Israel's on a moon calendar. Now, some people are getting with me today and say, oh, we got this whole thing that Tishri 10th is November 14th, and that's the day we think the rapture is gonna. And I'm like, how did they get to the idea that Tishri 14th is November 14th? Well, I don't know what calendar they're using. Maybe it's a sun calendar, maybe it's a Noah calendar, whatever. But there, they made a whole video about the Tishri 14 being the day to look for, right? So I'm like, okay. So I have to keep my focus on the year, because God gave me a 6,000 year count, mm-hmm. and none of the years have been off.
Right.
And that's the beautiful thing. when God said things were going to happen in this time of year, in this year, in this year, in this year, all of them, the years have been perfect. And even 2017, the year was perfect. So,
yeah.
So my hope is still the 120th year, 2020. We're going to get into that and today. But first, I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, maybe Pastor Ben can tell me who's online with us today. Who's in class today and who's playing hooky?
Ah.
All right. So Let's pray in. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadeshimcha Tavo Mehuteka Yi Azerot Sanacha Be'aret Ke Asher Ne Asa Be Shamaim Ten Lano Hayom Lechem Hukenu Uselag Lano Et Ashmitenu Ke Asher Solechem Anaknu Le Asher Ashmilanu Vial Tevienu Le De Masa Ke Im Hatzilano Min Hara Kilacha Hamamlacha Vehagivara Vehativ Eret Leolame Leolamim, amen. Be Yeshua HaMashiach, anachnu tefillim, and bon alech. Let's get started.
Amen.
Okay.
Right. Here, who's in house? Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, so we have Alabama.
All right.
Toronto, Ontario.
Okay, Toronto,
I hope. South Africa.
Hallelujah.
Youngstown, Ohio. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Trinidad and Tobago. Colorado Springs. Hold on.
If you're in Africa, could you let me know that you watch the Messianic Bible College, or you watch S4C? Because I get a lot of stuff from Africa, and then some of it's for different stuff. But if I know that you're a part of the S4C family, or you're part of people that are watching, I want to know who you are so that I don't think that it's just, you know, because you can get a lot of junk mail
<That's true. laughs>
when you're on Facebook, you know. So
from New York City. Amen.
Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm praying for New York. We got to get out of here in New York.
Amen.
Y'all governor, I think, is on equal crazy with our governor.
Yeah. Right. Hold on, Pastor. Okay, here we go. So New York, hold on.
Ve'yomer Elohim, yehi marah barakia hashemayim.
Okay, so Burlington, New Jersey.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Indiana in class.
Hallelujah.
Houston, Texas.
Yes.
Boston, Illinois.
Okay.
Nevada.
Hallelujah.
Australia, Canton, Ohio.
Hallelujah.
From Germany.
Hallelujah, Germany. Thank you.
Saturated.
In Ohio.
Tampa.
Okay. Tampa. Oh, it's wet.
Yeah. Maryland. Southern California, Mexican Muslim here. Okay, I don't know what that's all about.
But
Beaumont, California, Louisiana, North Florida, South Kakakalaki.
You did. You pronounced that really good, Pastor Ben.
Really?
I don't know.
Kakakalaki. Yeah. Well, okay. Bless you, Adam. Hold on, you kind of got away from me here. Windy Atlantic Beach, Florida. I guess it's windy down there. Montgomery, Alabama. Ooh, that's going way back home. Montecito. New Orleans. New Orleans, Louisiana, Bakersfield, Jersey, Rhode Island, Lenoir, North Carolina, Florida, of course, South Africa is in the house.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa, oh.
Hallelujah.
Lenoir, Oklahoma, Washington State, N.E., N.E. California? What is
N.E.
California?
N.E.?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's in California.
Well, hello, N.E. California.
Fellow California.
Amen. Greensville, South Carolina. Italy. Chicago. Amen. Kenya. Nairobi, Kenya.
Hallelujah.
Bakersfield, California. Connecticut. South Florida. North Fork, England.
Yes.
Germany.
Okay.
North Stonington, Connecticut.
Yes.
Michigan, mm-hmm. Oregon. Susanville, California. Ohio. That's it.
That's it. Hallelujah. That's a lot. He goes, that's it. That's a bunch. So praise God. That is a blessing to have all of you joining us this morning as we wait on the blessed hope of the year that is scheduled, the 120-year judgment of the earth and rescue of the great eight, seven churches, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ meeting us already on shore cooking fish and having bread. So we are looking forward to the rapture of the church. I am called to this mission, and it is tougher than playing football, I now admit. So, but we're going to keep going. We're not going to walk off the field and quit. And we're going to keep going until we meet in the cloud and we're all dancing and praising and high-fiving and congratulating each other. Yes. But the wonderful, wonderful thing about this year is it's scheduled, okay? Yes. And when you have a day, a year that's scheduled, you tend to start looking at what day is this all going to happen, you know, and that's us. That's just natural human nature. Okay, now that we know the year, let's find out what the date is. And we have had a few dates that have came and went in 2020 that will baffle me until I get to heaven. And I'm thinking it's going to be answered by the obedience and disobedience to the calendar by the nation of Israel, and how they're trying to keep up with time and things like that. And also, all of these things that are going on. But the year is what the Lord has impressed on my heart. The year is non-negotiable.
Right.
That's the word I got. The year is non-negotiable. So I'm putting all my hope and all my desire that, and I don't, you know what? I don't have to put a kind of crazy hope into the year, because even the time's telling me that something's about to happen.
Amen.
So I was telling Pastor Ben, someone was saying, lady was saying on CNN, well, we're so happy that we finally got Trump out of the office and Biden in, and now we can finally get a vaccine and get back to normal. Now, if that ain't a crazy person talking, I'm looking at her like, you are as nutty as a fruitcake.
Yep.
That you think Biden is going to bring about this vaccine and then things are going to get back to normal, okay? Nobody is aware that we're at the steps or the doorway of the book of Revelation.
Yes.
Nobody, I mean, if you're not watching, okay, because the scripture says it shall overtake them like a thief, but we are not children of the night. We are children of the day. That day should not overcome us like it does people living in darkness. So we are supposed to be aware, and I hope there's no one that's a born-again Christian saying, well, when things get back to normal and we get a vaccine, because that would be so unintelligent when it comes to Scripture.
Yes.
Because Scripture says you're at the door of the book of Revelation.
Yes.
You're not, things getting back to normal, but they want you to believe that, okay? Now, I'm going to read something, then I'm going to go over my history, and so you understand what God has done, so that I know and you know that we are in perfect time and perfect year, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to read from the book of Genesis, and it's chapter 1, verse 14. And I'm reading from this Hallelujah Scripture book, Bible that was given to me and Pastor Ben.
Amen.
And I'm very thankful. And it says here, Elohim said, let light come. come to be in the expense of the Shamayim. You know what? Yeah, I'm gonna read from here because you guys need to know a little Hebrew anyway. So Elohim said, let there be light in the expanse of the Shamayim to separate the day from the night, and let them be for a sign and appointed times. So let the lights be for what? Signs and mohadims and appointed times, and for days and years. And let them be for light in the expanse of the Shamayim, which is the heavens, the sky, to give light upon the earth. And it came to be, and it was so. Then it says, and Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and he also created stars. And Elohim placed them in the expanse of the Shamayim, the heavens, to give light on the earth. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. And it was evening, and there was morning, and that was the fourth day. So, as we look at this scripture, it says that he put these lights in the sky, the great light, meaning the sun, and the lesser light, meaning the moon, and then the chachavim, the stars, and he says these are going to be for signs and for mohadim, appointed times, to count days and years. So what is God telling us in Genesis chapter 14? Oh, by the way, earth, I'm counting time. You're on a clock. Okay, I'm using the sun and the moon and the stars for signs that are going to appear, and I'm using the sun and the moon for mohadims, for appointed times, and so that you understand that you're not on an eternal clock. You're on a very definite clock, and your time starts. And matter of fact, the script says he has set a certain day where he is going to judge the world. Okay, so time is something that God has set. Okay, as a born again Christian and not just living in the world and being of darkness, you need to understand that God set the world on a time. Yeah. This is why he says, watch, because you do not know the day or the hour that I'm going to come, because you are not set on eternity here on earth. You are set on a time clock. Okay. Yeah. So, when it comes to time, that means God has been counting time since the beginning, okay? This is why January 1st, 2003, I wake up and God wants to introduce me to a 6,000-year count from Genesis to the end of 6,000 years, which was 2017. It's okay to be after the 6,000th year, because Jesus has promised that he would even work after his Sabbath in order to get his second bride. Right. So we have no problem with that. But what time are we in, and what has been set in the Bible, and where are we on God's time clock? Because he says he has set a date that he will judge the world. Okay? I almost say I feel the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to get too religious on y'all. So let's go over to the board, because in January of 2003, as God gives me the count from here, Adam, to the 6,000 years, which was 2017, which is also recorded in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 7, 6,000s. Okay, so that was God's like, and here's the proof, you know? So when I got there, I had already gone through a phase of numbers that told me that I was on right marker with God. When I got to the 1948th year of my count, Abraham's father had begun having his children. So I went, wow, from Abraham, from Adam to Abraham, 1948 years. So I have to mark that day because that was a very important day. A matter of fact, this 1948 is really the prophecy of the return of Israel back into the land. And since this Adam to 1948, then the second Adam, which would be Jesus, would be from zero to 1948. So both are showing you that God, so I knew I was right on time, 1948. So I keep continuing with my count and I get to the year 3,983 years, Jesus is born. Okay? I don't have to go 4 BC, 5 AD, all that stuff. I'm just counting how many numbers from Adam to Jesus was 3,983. So now that is exactly 17 years before 4,000. That is amazing because Joseph didn't start his ministry, who is a typology of Jesus Christ. He started his ministry when he was 17 years old. And what was Joseph's report back to his father? That his brothers were living evil, right? Yeah. So Jesus is 17 in the 4,000th year of the count. And at 17, he's reporting back to his father that the brothers are living evil, okay? So that's the 3,983rd year of the count I come to the birth of Jesus. Now, after the 4,000, after this year right here, which would be BC 1, okay? So now God is, you're counting, you know, the years after Christ, because then you're going to go 70 AD. Well, exactly 1948 years after the birth of Jesus is the rebirth of the nation of Israel. So that's pretty crazy, right? Amen. So God is saying, look, from a 6,000 year count, 1948 showed up in the exact year it was supposed to. A matter of fact, in the year before, the UN is planning to give the land back to Israel. So you got this UN count in 1947, and you got Israel moving back in 1948, and from Adam to Abraham, 1948, and so all the numbers are lining up, okay? Now, the other number that has to line up would be, we know that Jerusalem fell 19 years after Israel. So then the 1967th year, Jerusalem is back in the hands of the Jews. So now all of the numbers are adding up. You understand? None of the years are off. We're not talking about the days, but we're saying none of the years were off. You understand?
Right.
So we say, well, if none of the years were off in 19, let's look at this. In 1917, we had a jubilee. Jerusalem was won back. 50 years later, in 1967, we had a six-day war. Jerusalem was won back. And then in 2017, which is exactly 50 years later again, we have Donald Trump announcing Jerusalem, another jubilee, right on time. So the years aren't off.
Amen.
Okay? Can we argue days? Can we say, well, maybe the days are off, maybe the calendar, maybe this. But one thing's absolutely sure. God is making all of the years be perfect. 1917, 1948, 1967, 2017. All the years are fine. Okay? So let's not get off like, oh, maybe we're 10 years off or 42 years off. No, let's not get into that. Let's get into the fact that the years are not off based on a solid count. And if you have a scientist or anybody, I will send them the count so that they can look at it and you'll see the years are not off. Okay? So let's go back over here. So since the years are not off, and 1948 was 1948, then that means 1967 was 1967, and that means the year 2000 was the 2000th year, or the 100th, and then so when you got to 2017 and you're at 6,000 years, then you're exactly at 6,000 years. And God is like, okay, this is the time where I finished working for my bride. My time to actually work from Adam to now for my bride is over with, but I've agreed to work a little longer because I want Israel too. But the first bride that God is going to receive is going to be the Gentile bride, or the representation of the Gentile bride, which was Leah, okay? So, we see that the years are not off. So, what makes this year, 120th year since 1901, the 120th year, to be correct and to be in line with what God is saying is going to happen in the 120th year? Because we have to understand that in a designated time, after a 120-year count, grace will end and judgment will begin. Okay? So, let's look at this. Let's see here. Okay. So, as we're looking at the 120 years, we want to look at all of the judgments that have occurred in 120 years. And I don't want to go all the way back to the beginning of all the judgments. I mean, of how we got to the 120 years, because then we have to talk about Eve and her being the root of the 120-year count, right? And then we'd have to talk about Semek, the Hebrew letter that leads us all the way to the count of the 120. So what we do know is that Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God specifically tells Noah, you have 120 years and judgment is going to begin, okay? And that judgment would end grace upon the earth, right? Or would end the time of Noah's life before the flood, and judgment would begin. But God specified it will be in 120 years. That year is marked in scripture by so many ways that you know that it was exactly 120 years when Noah, when they entered the ship and when the flood began in the 120th year. Now, it is Jesus who says it will be as it was in the days of Noah. Okay? So, at the end of the 120 years, judgment will come. Okay? Because times, dates, and years are being counted by who? God. Because he set the sun and the moon and the stars in the sky to do what? To count time, days, and years, signs, months. I mean, he's given us the ability to watch as God is counting time. But even the whole clock, dealing with 60 minutes in a day, has this whole value of the 144,000 built into a six-hour clock. And I don't want to go over that right now, but even the minutes and the time is based on the 144,000. So all of this is God counting time, okay? And so as we look at the first 120 years and God brings judgment upon the earth, we know that God did not just choose the 120th year. God based the 120 years on the fact that Eve had sinned, her name, her number being 19. So let's use the 1900s to count the second final 120 years. You understand?
Yeah.
You understand, Pastor Ben, right? So here's Eve. Her numerical value is 19. God waits till the 1900s to start the next 120-year count, okay? Eve sins. She is the Semech. She is the 120, the support for Adam. So when she sins, she sets off a time thing that says now judgments fall when? In the 120th year. Is this the first time God has done that, or is that a pattern of God? Because if you look at the ninth of Av, when they sin with the golden calf, and then that being when they sinned with the coming back and giving a bad report, with the two spies coming back and this happened on the ninth of Av.
Did it?
Yes. So therefore, all of the ninth of Avs, after that became judgments.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the ninth of Av, the first temple gets destroyed. The ninth of Av, the second temple gets destroyed. The ninth of Av, chrysolite in Spain getting kicked out. Every time the ninth of Av comes up, Israel gets nervous because that they know that the ninth of Av is a judgment. But it's not rooted in just the ninth of Av. It's rooted in the first time they were disobedient on the ninth of Av. Like a 120-year judgment is rooted in when Eve was disobedient.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to understand, this is the pattern of God. This is how he sets patterns, okay?
Yeah.
From the first time, we'll now set a mold for the second, third, and fourth time. And so you see on the ninth of Av, because of what happened on the ninth of Av, he follows the pattern that things happen on the ninth of Av. Yeah. Both temples get destroyed on the exact same day. Come on.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It's just things like that. And, you know, so... So now as we look through the scriptures, we're looking for the next 120 years after Eve, and it happens to be God saying the flood. Okay, so judgment will begin 120 years. So we look through scripture and we say, does God stay on this pattern? Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. Moses was 120 years when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor was his strength gone. But it was time for his judgment because of his disobedience in striking the rock. So therefore, God said to Moses, you're not going to pass over and see the land. Even though you're healthy, your eyes are strength, you're dying today because of the judgment of the sin of striking the rock when I told you to speak to it. So he dies at 120. Did God just sporadically say, you're going to die when you're 120? Or is he basing Moses' judgment on Eve's sin, Semech, the 120, and the flood, 120? And now Moses, your judgment, 120, because God is staying on a pattern.
Right.
Now God gives us this incredible prophecy of three kings. And one of the kings is Saul. Now, it was a sin for them to ask for Saul because God was their king.
Mm-hmm.
He was ruling on them and doing a fine job. But they wanted a king like the pagan nations. So therefore, God gave them Saul. Saul ruled for 40 years, and then he was gone. Then David came in, and David ruled for 40 years. Then he was gone. Then Solomon came in, and Solomon began to sin with some of the Gentile wives that he had chosen, and to also worship their gods of these Gentile wives that he had chosen. And God not only judged Saul, but a lot of things were going on because of what David's sin was, that was curses that were carrying on. And now Saul's sin is making it bigger. So then Saul rules for also 40 years. 40, 40, and 40 is 120. At the end of Solomon's reign, you have the dispersed with two kingdoms going one way, 10 kingdoms going the other way, and Israel has been dispersed and judged when? 120 years of kings. This did not just happen. It's rooted in Eve. It manifested in the flood. It came to fruition with Moses. And then now God is saying, even now, all judgments are still going to be in 120. So he gives us an incredible prophecy just to let us know. Judges chapter 16, verse 29. Then Samson reached toward the two pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other. And he pushed the pillars from underneath the Colosseum, and the Colosseum collapsed, and 3,000 people died. And therefore, they said that judgment happened when? When the pillars were pushed out of the way.
Yes.
Now, the 120, God has made it that the 120 not only is Semek for Eve, but the 120 gematria becomes also the number for the congregation.
Yes.
And it becomes the number for the church, because we are the foundation and pillar of God, which is the church. Okay, so therefore now the 120 becomes the church, because God wants you to know that the church has to be pushed out of the way before the judgment can fall.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are the things that God is doing in scripture. Now, even last night, thanks to the guy that called in, you have this scripture in Acts chapter 15 on the day of Pentecost. It says, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering, as it were, 120. Okay? If your Bible says a group numbering about 120, the Hebrew word hosia, the Greek word, it means as it were. It doesn't mean about. God don't deal in abouts. It's either 120 or it's not, right? But in English, we translate it as being 100 about. But it says here, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers, and a group numbering, as it were, 120. Okay? And the Spirit of God fell, and the beginning of grace had become into the world. And now this process of saving the world from what happened by the 19th called Eve is going to be saved when? In the 120th. So God puts a stamp on it and says, I'm going to put 120 people in the temple so that you understand the prophecy that now grace has entered into the world, because we're going to cure. We're going to cure the 120 that happened at the time of Eve.
Yes.
And we're going to cure it. And now grace has entered into the world. And what is grace? It's that 19, okay? Because now this grace has entered into the world, because grace is who? Kadosh. It's the Holy One. Who's the Holy One? And the Kaf in the Hebrew, the 19th letter, means holy. Okay? So the Holy One is coming to the world, yeah, and he's going to cure what the other 19 started in the world, and now there's going to be a healing.
Yeah.
So now we get to the 120th year, and we start, and we get to the 1900s, and God goes, remember Eve. Who is Eve? Oh, she's 19. She's in, let's now begin to start the next 120 year count. Okay? So, you get this absolutely strange occurrence. Thank you, J.R. Church and Gary Stearman. You get this absolutely strange occurrence of God prophesying what's going to happen for 120 years. Mm-hmm. And he puts it in the book of Acts and then begins to count and tell you what's going to happen. And so I like the way J.R. Church presented it, because he says Genesis represents Psalms 1 through Psalms 141. Exodus represents Psalms 42 to Psalms 72. Leviticus represents Psalms 73 to Psalms 89. Numbers represents Psalms 90 to Psalms 106. Deuteronomy, which is the last book of the Torah, is 107 to 119. Then the Bible comes up with a new psalm in Psalms 120, and this psalm is called the Psalm of Ascending, up, the Psalm of Me Allah, okay? And so in the Psalm of Me Allah, of ascending up, God imprinted the tribulation scenario in the next seven psalms. This is what I'm talking, because God says, you know, the day and the calendars can be thrown off as far as days, but the years are non-negotiable, because you can't mess up a whole year. Because even Israel, if they start the calendar soon, too soon, and don't wait till the new year, they'll start the calendar. But you know what they'll do next year? They'll add another month to make up for that month. Okay. And then they'll say, okay, we fixed it. Yeah, but you forgot about the 6 days that you started the calendar before, right? Or you forgot about the 9 days that you started the calendar before, right? So therefore, those never get handled. But I think God knows.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm not changing my calendar up here because of you. Okay?
Amen.
Which, this is my own, helps me. We can't calculate days and times if Israel's clock is days and times in correction.
Right.
Because now you're going, okay, are we going by Israel's time and is Israel's calendar right? Or is God strictly correct in his time, and he knows what day and hour is correct, and he knows when it's coming? Last night as I was coming, he was like, you're so close, you know, because it's like you're so close. And look at you, you know, because I sat there all morning looking at all the horrible things that are happening in the world. And I think I was just mad. Oh, how they cheated Donald Trump. I was just absolutely upset. Even my brother, you know, who is not a watcher, he's just like a Christian, and he didn't even really understand what the rapture was about until I made him sit down and watch Left Behind.
No, you didn't.
And he watched and he goes, well, what is this? I said, that's the rapture. Two in one place, one left and the other. And this is my brother, right? I know he's a Christian, so I haven't been running them. But he came over, and now he's watched Left Behind. And he goes, oh, my goodness. You know what he read right after the movie finished? He went in the kitchen and started reading his Bible.
No!
And you know what? Because that's what the rapture does for you.
Yeah.
It makes you alert that God is coming for righteousness.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have found you righteous in this generation. Go into the ark. Okay? I have not found you lukewarm in this generation, so going to the ark. I have not found you without oil in your lamp in this generation, so going to the ark. He said, I have found you righteous in this generation, so going to the ark. So God, so the rapture is something that's in scripture that is a promise from God, Jesus Christ himself, the bridegroom. And he said, this day is called your blessed hope.
Yes.
2020 is the year of the blessed hope. And we've gone through all this year and we're going, when? And then I read in scripture, he says, if I delay, you know how you should conduct yourselves while I'm gone, while I'm in delay. You know how you, in holiness and reverence to God, right? So God is not slow in counting. Even though it's been 6,000 years and Jesus said, I'll be back, and it's been 2,000 years, he says, I'm not slow, because a day to me, 1,000 years to me is just a day. And so now that the 2 days have passed, and now you're past the second day, and you're early morning on the third day, he starts telling you, oh, by the way, there was a wedding in Canaan on the third day, to let you know. And the wedding was in Galilee,
Yes. The
end of the circuit of the Gentiles. So he's letting you know the times and dates that you're living in. God has given us all kinds of clues. But the greatest clue of all begins in the book of Psalms. So let's go to the book of Psalms.
Hallelujah.
120.
15 minutes.
Hallelujah. We got plenty of time. 15 minutes is like forever. So we get to the book of Psalms. We're not going to go over the prophecies of each psalm, but we're just going to go to Psalms 120. Because in Psalms 120, we get to this incredible book that is different from all other psalms. 119 psalms go by, okay? And they're titled all kinds of things. The psalms, the psalm of, let me look at some of these. Let's see. Psalms 48, these were called the psalm of the sons of Korah, right? Psalms 48. Then you got other psalms that are, this is called the prayer of the, well, they all have different names. All the psalms have different names. But when you get to the 120th psalm, now it's called what? The Psalm of Ascent. And this 120th psalm becomes a representation of the judgment that is to come.
Yeah.
And so how does that judgment come? The Antichrist cannot come unless there become first what? An apostasia. What's that? A descending out, an escape, a departure. So the Antichrist cannot come unless a departure happens first.
That's not a falling away of the church.
Well, look, if they haven't been, if they're still telling women you can't preach.
Okay.
When the Bible says, I said they should not speak out of order in church. I didn't say nothing about if they could teach the Bible, they can't talk in church. In Christ, there is neither male or female, neither Greek nor Jew, right? We are all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit gives you a message and you're a lady, please speak it.
Yes.
But no. No pastors until Pastor Sandy in 2000 discovered that the word laleo means to speak out of order. So God was not telling women not to speak. He was telling them you can't speak out of order because you sit in a separate area from the men. That's the culture.
Right.
Therefore, do not leave your area and go ask your husband a question. Wait till you get home and ask your husband there.
Yes.
For a woman shall not speak out of order in the church.
Right.
Oh, no, he meant never speak at all. So You get a word that says the Antichrist cannot come until there's an until apostasy occurs, which means departure. Mm-hmm. We say, oh, it means departing from the church.
Right.
It means laying down your Jesus, putting down your cross. No, that's not what it means. It just means a departure is going to happen before the Antichrist comes.
Amen.
And that departure is the church. Now that puts us back in line with all scriptures, because line by line, precept by precept, that puts us back in line, right?
Yes.
He can't come till there's a departure. All scriptures tell you that
right.
The Antichrist is not coming until the church leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts us back in line. So now we're waiting for the departure, but the departure is not mentioned till Psalms 120.
Right.
And it begins like this. I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. Hatsilanu. He said, save us, rapture us, O Lord, from lying lips.
Yes.
And from deceitful tongues.
Mm.
That's the beginning prophecy of 2020. How could God be so correct?
Right on point.
I mean, if you're not that lady on CNN, you know you've been lied to. But her, she doesn't think, she really thinks 10 million people got the coronavirus just this past week.
Wow.
Because CNN said so. Right?
Right.
CNN is owned by Satan.
Right.
NBC owned by Satan.
Yeah.
CBS owned by Satan. You know what I mean? These are Satanists that own all of the media, which I learned from my friend is a demonic spirit, Medea.
Right. Who knew? Who
which knew? I learned. He's like, they're naming things after the spirit. So when you say these things, you're calling forth these spirits.
No idea.
So that's why he wanted that to use that name. That means he's been satanic from the beginning.
Yep.
Okay, now. So here we have television lying to you. And they told you that there's a pandemic that's sweeping the nation. And 300 people died last week. And I want to, you know, there should be somebody, there should be some checks and balances. Like, okay, you said 10 million people. We want to see the paperwork on the 10 million people, and we want to know their addresses and their names.
Right.
And then I want to know, if you say 300 of them died last week, I want documentation of all 300 people who you said died last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to, and I want to know what they died for, because the lady in Texas, no, in Oklahoma, is still suing the state. She's still suing the state because they won't take off he died from coronavirus when he died from diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody who died, you can fall off of a mountain and you're going to say you died from coronavirus. Why? Because we're living in the time of lies and deceit. Okay. And did God know that?
Yes.
Do we need deliverance from it?
Yes.
We definitely need deliverance from it, because if Biden's in, you've got nothing to stop these demons from going forth with their vaccine plan, and the church has got to go. So in 2020, it says, save me, but it uses the word not solve. Rapture me, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What will he do to you? And what more besides, oh, deceitful tongue? God is going to get y'all.
Yeah,
he will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrow and a burning coal of a broom tree. It says, now it says this, Israel speaks, woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, in darkness, right? That I live among the tents of Kedar. Okay? So, It says, too long have I lived among those who hate peace. Who's that? Palestinians and Arabs, right?
Yeah.
I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war.
Mm-hmm.
So, Murkama Bekarov, war is coming soon.
It is.
In 2020.
Yeah.
Israel, be prepared.
Yes.
Because when the church leaves, the barometer that keeps the Antichrist from doing what he wants to do will be removed.
Yep.
And war will come to Israel in 2020.
Yes.
But the church will be ascended up. Okay? So now that's not the only year that God prophesied. Now he says in Psalms 120, Israel begins to cry out. And he says, I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is Israel crying out to the Lord. He will not let your feet slip. He who watches over you, Israel, will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber or sleep. So now in 2021, the psalm is talking about protecting Israel. There's nothing about ascending up or deliver us from the lies. Now it's Israel crying out and God's promise, I'm going to watch over you. Don't you worry. And the Lord watches over you. Then we get to Psalms 121 and 122. So that's for 2022. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. There's a house of the Lord built in Jerusalem. The temple has been rebuilt in 2022. What? Wow. So now, since they've given a peace treaty, and now they've allowed you to build your temple, and you rejoice that you can now go back to the temple, and now you can continue your sacrifices. Now you're thinking you've got your religion back, but what you've done is you've crowned Ishbosheth to be your king, and you've celebrated the ability to rebuild your temple. I'm telling you our reality, okay? Because reality is this. Church, you got to go.
Yes.
You can't be here because I got to get back to giving Israel its 7 years. So church, you got to go, okay? And that's what we have to understand, that the church has to leave. Now the temple is rebuilt. But listen to this in chapter 21 of Psalms 121. I lift up my eyes to you, whose throne is in heaven, and the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a slave look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of the maid look to the hand of the mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for we have endured much contempt. That means after they built the temple, that does not stop the hate of Israel. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. So that means in 2023, even though they have their temple, the world still hates them. 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, they're going to attack Israel in 2024? Yes. When the anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood, remember Satan, he causes a flood to come against them from Daniel, and the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging water would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of a fowler's snare, and the snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of Yahweh, the maker of Hashamaim and Haaretz, of heaven and earth. Wow. So in 2024, he says war will begin there and it will continue to the end. And what is the end? Let's look at the last verse of Psalms 126. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. So the person who left weeping, because he left us with the Holy Spirit, but he left, but he says, I'm coming again to get you. And then he says, when he returns, he's returning what? With the barley harvest, with the wheat harvest with him. You understand? So now you get into Psalms 127, the return of Christ. And Israel begins to give birth to her own children. Psalms 128, Israel is celebrating the giving birth to their own children. And now Israel is back there. So Psalms 120 to 127, 28, filling 1947 and 1948 generation of the 80, is completely happening in Scripture. And so what are we going to do with the promise of God? Because God promised us a wedding.
Yes.
And we remember our bridegroom, and he did not go away to leave us with an unfulfilled promise. Amen. And now that you're in the year of the promise happening, and days go by, and you go, oh my goodness, Passover went by in 2020, and we didn't get raptured. The second month, Iyar, on the 17th, went by, and we didn't get raptured. The wheat harvest. Can I tell you guys something? Since we're all over the world now, this guy says, hey, well, you know what? When it's September, November here, it's not like on you guys' side of the earth. On this side, we're having spring while you're having winter. So our wheat harvest is October, November, whereas your wheat harvest is in the summer. So is God only in control of part of the earth? Or is God in control of the whole earth? And the wheat harvest can be depending on what hemisphere you're living in.
I never thought of that.
This guy sent that to me. I said, I thank you so much. I said, I am saving this. Because this is incredible information. Because we always put God in a box and say, wheat harvest can only be in the summertime.
Right.
Well, there's a whole nother side of the earth that when you're having summer, they're having winter.
Wow.
And when you're having winter, they're having summer. Okay?
Wow.
And there's a whole nother side of the earth that when it's 6 o'clock in the morning here, it's 8 o'clock at night there.
Yeah.
So how are you going to know the day and the hour? And the seasons and the time, but God knows.
God knows.
The year is unnegotiable. It's non-negotiable. It's been counted out since Adam.
Yeah.
And it's reached its point, and we're in it. So the blessed hope should be alive and ready. And we should be watching and preaching and telling people the Lord is coming. Things aren't going back to normal. The Lord is coming to take his church. Don't be caught, because things aren't going back to normal.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
That's it for the message today.
All right. Time for the Q&A.
Isman.
Ready, Pastor Sandy?
Anemanu Khan. I am ready.
Da 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 da
da da da da da da da da da da. It's question and answer time here at Rishon Messianic Bible College. That is not a college song, but that's an elementary song.
Okay. Okay. Okay, Abigail, I need you to jump in and help me out, sister.
Abigail,
she weeds out.
Okay, stuff. Thank you. So, we got somebody weeding out the crazy questions.
Yes, Lord, because it's so many. Okay, so do you have a? This is from Robert.
Okay.
Violet.
This is what.
Do you have a projected date in mind for the departure?
No, I don't have a projected date, but let me tell you a date, okay?
Mm-hmm.
40 days after 17th of Heshvan is Hanukkah. Really? 40 days of the flood? 40 days? Is it amazing that exactly 40 days after Hanukkah, after 17th of Heshvan, is Hanukkah?
Really?
So we might want to look at that Hanukkah day because something happened on Hanukkah, which means dedicated. Jesus even came into the temple on Hanukkah and said, "My sheep hear my voice when I call and lead them out. They follow me."
Ooh.
He said that on Hanukkah in the temple. So see what I mean? How the Bible just like, I got a rapture scenario for every part of the year.
So we didn't have a Hanukkah rapture.
How do you know? You got seven, you got the eighth day of Hanukkah, mm-hmm. which is eight in the ark going up.
Right.
You got 8 days of Hanukkah of light. You got the menorah lamp. You got, so you got everything that you need.
Okay.
So I'm saying there is a rapture. Now, even after that, you're still in 2020, even if December 31st comes and you're in January, now you get into the time of Esther when that rescue happened.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of, and then the third day, and then Esther going into the king's court on the third day and receiving her gown, and all of this happened at that time. So I'm just saying, I have to keep my hope on 120th year because I'm starting to see this date and this year, the dating it by one or two dates, or it's going to be this week, is not working out. And I'm telling you right now, and I'm like, I'm to the point like, because after 17th of Heshvan, I'm like, really? Okay. So I'm like this. Okay, let me stick with the year.
Right.
Because
can't go wrong with it.
I'm hoping, because I got time left on this year, and I'm hoping that the year, the 120th year, is in accordance with judgment and rescue.
Yes.
And I'm not looking at dates. I definitely am. Hanukkah, I will be up praying with my menorah candle. So I'm saying, let's concentrate that we are living in the year of judgment and rescue.
Yes.
And if you come up with a date or you find a date, God bless you and God bless me too, because I will look at it intensively. But I'm looking harder at this being the 120th year completing scripture.
So wasn't Jesus conceived on Hanukkah or around Hanukkah?
No, he was conceived you're right, conceived around Hanukkah. He was, exactly.
All right, Pastor, this is from one of our Texas believers. Will the earth be repopulated during the millennial reign, and will the nations be the same as they are now?
I think the earth will be populated, repopulated, because it says in Ezekiel, I think it's Ezekiel 39 or 4, it says if a child is born during the millennial and the child would die within 100 years, it will have been considered he lived a very short life. So, and it says there'll be clothes and everything saved for those who survived the tribulation.
Oh, yeah.
And so there will be survivors of the tribulation when Jesus returns.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he comes on a cloud so that everything doesn't die. He doesn't just come on a cloud to show off.
Right.
He's coming on a cloud to make sure that Israel is not harmed,
mm-hmm.
and that he doesn't kill everything, because if he comes without the cloud,
everything
dies, okay? So he's coming on a cloud, he's coming to rescue, and there will be people after the millennium. So the same as Jesus' time, as Jesus was walking around with a resurrected body,
yeah.
Like, I haven't ascended to the Father yet. Is that a new body on you? Yes, it is. You know, it's, oh, by the way, give me something to eat. So he's eating there, he's hugging, he's talking, he's walking, except he just doesn't use doors. You know what I mean? He's got some things that have advanced, right?
That's amazing.
So there'll be resurrected people on earth along with people who survived. Okay, so I don't know what our job will be in the millennium, but I know it's going to be a beautiful time because human beings are beautiful.
Yes.
Artistically, musically, poetically, as athletes, human beings are incredible. As comics, I mean, we're funny. God really put a masterpiece together. Humans are some beautiful people.
Yes.
So, as God has preserved life and bringing life and then getting us back to a new heaven and a new earth after the millennium, God is going to be the Aleph, which is Aluf, which means the champion.
Yeah.
God will be the champion in this whole endeavor. And all of these Bidens and these Nephilims and these people who are still with this, these blood sacrifices and all of this, all of these people have to be thrown into Hades.
Yes.
And their torment has to begin. And it's coming, but not till the church, apostasia,
yes,
departs. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay.
I'm going to read this, but I don't know if I'm going to read it right.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, knowing that God will fulfill the feast when he comes back, have you tried to get the date of rapture going back 2,520 days from the Day of Atonement, 2027.
I haven't done that. But this is what I need you to know. The rapture does not start the tribulation.
Right.
Okay? The rapture is only the departing of the church. So you can't find. Now, you can count back from there and find out when the peace treaty will be signed. But now you have to count back doing another thing. You have to count back counting 360 day years and not 365 day years so that you won't be off. So it's a lot of work for a guy who played football. But if you want to do it, you are most definitely can, because some people have mathematical minds, okay?
Yeah,
so you can go to Hanukkah, you can go on Chabad.org, and you can go to Hanukkah, Yom Kippur 2027, and you can begin to count back 360 day years until you get to what you see as being the beginning of the tribulation. And then you could count back there, but you won't be able to count back to the rapture, because the rapture does not start the tribulation. The rapture is only the departing. And then there must be a flood. Then there must be additional time. Then there must be a time of setting up. And then they'll come forward. And then they'll say peace and safety. And then all of a sudden, you know, then they'll have the peace treaty. So you can't land on the rapture date.
Right. Amen. Could birthing pains refer to our temples, our bodies changing and preparing for ascension?
I'm not looking at birthing pains as that. I'm looking at birthing pains that of being actions that are going on in the earth, or the birthing pains to let the world know that a child is about to be birthed. Okay. And I think 2020 is a whole lot of birthing pains that we should be knowing. Floods, hurricanes, fires, riots, wear a mask, you got a disease, kind of. You know, all this stuff should be birthing pains, letting us know, right, that a child is about to be birthed out of the earth.
Pastor, what position did you play in football?
I was a linebacker, outside linebacker, and a defensive end. I was a quarterback sacker and a hitter. And I'm saved now, so I wouldn't do it as mean as I used to. I would help people up and pray for them when they got concussions.
What should I do if God doesn't want us to be gluttons and I'm one?
Stop. You know what I mean? Especially knowing that your temple is the body of God, your body is the temple of God, and that he has to live in there, and gluttony will make you sicker than anything.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of songs that speak about overeating. It causes a lot of health problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd rather you're a gluttony of that, or you're a gluttony of materialistic things, which you can't take with you anyway.
Right.
But either way, gluttony is just not a good thing. Health-wise or mentally, it's not wise. So pray about it, because that's why God gave you the Holy Spirit, to help you overcome it.
Yeah.
See, because I used to think I could. Someone said to me, Pastor, you shouldn't talk about your past, because if you talk about your past, people are going to think that you're not a holy man and that you're not as good as, you know, and they'll think you're like other pastors. And I was like, no, I got to tell people who I really am. I'm a wretch saved by grace.
Yeah.
And it's not going to change.
Right.
I am saved, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to know I was saved out of something, right. And the change you see came as a result of the Holy Spirit. It did not come as a result of me, you know, deciding I was going to be good and serve God. The Holy Spirit has been chiseling away,
yeah.
Forming this pot, doing everything, and so that I could be placed on a stand and say, okay, now I can use you for my work. But let me tell you, a whole lot of rocks and chips have to be knocked off of me before I got to a time where I can preach the gospel to anybody.
Yeah.
Because I was struggling with living it, okay? And so I'm not going to tell people, I'm not going to stop talking about my past, because our past is a testimony to the strength and power of the blood and the Holy Spirit that lives in us.
Amen. Last one, Pastor Sandy. Could real manifested Nephilim giants appear on the scene before the rapture, since in Noah's day they were here?
I want to tell you something. They have already appeared, and they already are here. There are some military events that people have seen them,
yeah.
That they have killed them. I saw a film, which I should have never seen, of rescuing children from a tunnel and what could not have been a human with its mouth open, and to consume a human with its mouth open. And I saw it and I went, oh my God. And the person was just sending it to me to let me know these kids are really being rescued from these tunnels. And so I said, Pastor Ben, what I saw, I don't ever want anybody to see. But there are Nephilim, and they eat, and the blood of humans and the flesh of humans they eat. Okay, so will they appear in the tribulation? Yes, they will, even in a greater form. Okay, so the world has no idea what they're getting into. So they remain blind, but we're trying to warn them of a time that's coming that they can't imagine the evil that's coming to this world. It won't just be, oh, you got to wear a mask and take a vaccine.
Uh-huh.
You're going to see some things that you never seen. Okay, so that's why I'm telling Christians, and that's why my message is to Christians. My message is really not to people who are lost.
Right.
Okay, when I go preach the gospel, I preach the gospel. When I'm here, I preach, my brothers and sisters, stay ready and stay excited because our wedding is coming. Okay, I'm preaching to my brothers and sisters. On the streets, I preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. That's it. Praise God. Let's pray out and let's get out of here. Thank you all around the world for joining us today. Come, Lord, soon. Okay. Wow. Sometimes the Lord just turns on like a faucet, and I'll be like, did I just say all that? Okay, here we are. And God said to Moses and Aaron, I'm blessing you now, people. Don't turn off your television or your thing and say, oh, it's over. I'm now blessing you with the words of God for the rest of your week, for your health and your strength, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I'm asking God to watch over you, to lift his countenance upon you, to be gracious to you. This is what this prayer is all about, speaking a blessing over my people. He said this to Moses and Aaron, when you bless my people, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'ir Adonai panavilecha v'hunecha. Yi'aseh Adonai panavilecha v'yasim lekai shalom. Shalom, everybody. L'itriot be'hashamayim be'karov. See you in the clouds soon.